WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So if you were listening at the very end of yesterday's show, you might have heard us read a news bulletin that was just coming in that a federal court of appeals had just voted 3-0 to overturn the FCC's demand that Comcast stop slowing web traffic to certain sites. Now, as often happens with court decisions, the ramifications for the Internet at large go way beyond one company's ability to regulate how much bandwidth is used by a single site, in this case a site called BitTorrent, and we'll explain why that site matters. But Google is on the other side of this case. Amazon is on the other side of this case. eBay doesn't like this ruling. Consumer groups all over the country do not like this. This was about, if this is confusing to you, the FCC challenging Comcast's blocking or delaying of a website, hoping that the court would rule that an internet service provider could not act as a censor by deciding which websites are granted the most bandwidth or access at all to users of the internet, and through that, which parts of the internet would be easy to use through that provider. So what does this all mean? What are the implications for you as somebody who uses the web or perhaps exercises your free speech on the web and not just consumes what other people are out there putting out there? We have two guests, Amy Schatz, columnist for The Wall Street Journal, who follows the Federal Communications Commission, which got struck down in this case, and Ben Scott, the policy director for Free Press, a not-for-profit dedicated to reforming media. They are very disappointed with this ruling. Ben, Amy, welcome to WNYC. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Ben, just for full disclosure, did your group have any relationship to this case? Did you file a brief or anything?
Yes, we did. We brought the original complaint against Comcast that resulted in the FCC sanctioning them for blocking web traffic. And then we were interveners in the case when Comcast appealed it to the D.C. Circuit.
So Comcast would say the reason that it blocked this file, BitTorrent, was that it was too big a file transfer. Coming really through BitTorrent, too big a file transfer. These videos that were being downloaded, slowing down everyone else's internet use, and they'd say that's not political censorship. That's not profiteering by giving big corporate sites faster speeds for a fee. That's just being an honest traffic cop, they say. Does the difference matter?
It matters a lot. In fact, they didn't dispute, ultimately, the facts of this case. The appeal of this case wasn't on whether they were guilty of blocking traffic. They disputed it on purely jurisdictional grounds, meaning does the FCC have the authority to sanction them at all? In fact, when they finally were found guilty by the FCC and were asked to disclose everything that they were doing with regard to blocking websites, they actually admitted they were blocking traffic 24 hours a day, regardless of whether there was congestion on the network. They were blocking traffic regardless of whether it was a large file or a small file. It was a blunt instrument that they were using to really curtail consumers from using the service called BitTorrent, which happens to provide video over the Internet, which they believe will one day compete with their cable television.
Amy, you want to talk about the competitive aspects of this as you report for the Wall Street Journal? Did Comcast have a business interest in blocking a site? Of course, Comcast is also a cable television provider. BitTorrent is a site that a lot of people use to download movies illegally as a file share on the internet. You think that's why Comcast blocked BitTorrent?
Whether it's legal or not isn't necessarily the case there. I mean, or isn't necessarily what they were looking at, because already, you know, illegal filed downloads doesn't necessarily have any sort of there's no protections there if you're going to be downloading movies illegally. What they're really worried about, or theoretically what they're worried about, is legal content. One of the reasons Comcast and other internet providers are so concerned about this is that, you know, more Americans are watching video online, and if Comcast offers you cable service for $80 a month, and they also offer you internet service for $40 a month, they're really concerned about whether people are still going to be willing to pay that $80. And if people are going to watch more movies and more TV shows online, they're really concerned about siphoning some of that business away. And so part of the reason that we're all sort of, why this is such a big deal, is that, you know, the internet is changing, and the way people are looking at entertainment is changing, and it's all moving online. And whoever controls that online environment is really going to have huge power in the future.
And listeners, if you want to react to this court ruling or even explain to other listeners what you think is at stake here, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for Amy Schatz from the Wall Street Journal and Ben Scott from Free Press. Or you can post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Ben, I think, you know, this is one of those stories where I think a lot of media people get real fired up, and a lot of other people either scratch their heads because it's confusing or say, well, I don't really care. My access to the internet isn't being blocked. So what's the worst case scenario that you see coming from this slippery slope, if it is a slippery slope? Once we had that down that road, from Comcast being able to decide which websites get top priority in access or speed, what are the ramifications here?
Well, they are enormous. And what's interesting about this court decision is that the court didn't say, we don't think Comcast is guilty, what they did was fine. The court didn't say anything at all about the facts of the case. They said the SEC can't make rules to protect consumers against Comcast blocking websites. So that means, as of right now, there is no federal cop on the beat to stop Comcast from blocking a website, from slowing one website down, from speeding one up. Now let's take that into the context of what's happening in the market right now. Comcast is trying to buy NBC Universal, massive Hollywood studio, and of course a broadcast network. And they will have an enormous business incentive to privilege the NBC content on the internet, to slow down the competitors, to give an advantage to users who go to the NBC site. Under the rules now, there's no way for the FCC or anybody in government to do anything about that. That fundamentally changes the way the internet works. It makes it a pay-for-play system. It makes it controlled by the companies who own the network. And the users who once and now enjoy complete choice over what they do on the internet are going to be the losers in this, and that's a real shame.
What's the other side of this, Amy? I saw that your paper, The Wall Street Journal, on its editorial page today, said this ruling would bring an end to what they call the net neutrality fetish at the FCC. And I want to make the distinction for our listeners that you're a reporter for the journal, getting the facts out. You're not on the editorial page. But what is the other side? Reflect the editorial board's view and what obviously is Comcast's view and that of other internet service providers.
Well, I think what you see on the Wall Street Journal editorial page is a belief that's shared by a lot of Republicans and a lot of the business community, which is that the FCC shouldn't be getting involved in some of these things. The market can take care of a lot of this. And if there are instances like the Comcast case or other cases where this has happened in the past, when it comes to light and people find out what's going on, the companies are shamed into stopping this practice. Ben and other groups are really concerned about what happens if the company gets shamed but then just doesn't do anything about it. And he's correct in that, you know, theoretically, companies could start blocking websites now. It's not clear to me that they're going to start doing that, and the blowback on that would be enormous. But so that is basically what, you really do have two sides of this. It can be a very partisan issue. And, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see what the FCC does now, because they don't have a lot of options. and all the options look pretty bad for them. But this isn't the end of the, you know, this isn't the end of the world. They, you know, Congress could always pass a law that says that the FCC has authority to do net neutrality, to be the cop on the net neutrality beat, or the FCC could try to change how it regulates things. So this isn't the end of the story here. We're sort of like in the middle inning here.
But it throws it back into Congress's court, and then it becomes political in a different way than if the president can just order the FCC or the FCC itself, which is part of the executive branch, as just a few-person body, can decide to regulate the Internet in the public interest in the way that it seems fit. Now everybody with their politics, every company with an interest in lobbying on this, making campaign donations around this, because of this court ruling, gets a chance to influence the process, which maybe is good. Maybe that's the way democracy should work. But this becomes now a political issue for Congress to deal with, just how much they want to pass a new law to empower the FCC to regulate the Internet. Ben, have there been any concrete examples in real life, beyond the theoretical concern, which I think is clear, of companies paying for top bandwidth billing, or examples of Internet providers asking for money to keep direct lines open and, you know, thereby slowing other sites in comparison?
Well, there have been, of course, the BitTorrent case where Comcast blocked that service, but more particularly, the executives of the phone and cable companies have gone to Wall Street to their investors and said, we want to change the business model. We want to begin a pay-for-play Internet where if you want guaranteed delivery of your website to consumers, you've got to pay us extra beyond the amount that you pay already for your bandwidth. They announced the intention to build that business model, and that's what started this whole debate about network neutrality. But I want to add that this court decision goes way beyond network neutrality, because what the court said was not just you can't make net neutrality rules under this legal theory, you can't make any rules with regard to broadband except in the most narrow of cases. So what Comcast has done here is they've said, we're going to challenge not just the specifics of this case, we're going to challenge the FCC's entire authority to make rules about broadband. It's like challenging a parking ticket and having the court say there's no more traffic rules at all on any street or any road of any kind. I mean, this is a sweeping decision that implicates all kinds of things, including bringing broadband to rural America, consumer protection issues like privacy and truth in billing, helping disability communities get access to the Internet. This is a real problem for the FCC, a real existential crisis where they're going to have to figure out how they regain their authority over broadband networks, the fundamental information infrastructure of our society.
Ben Scott, Policy Director of the advocacy group Free Press, which says it's dedicated to reforming media, including keeping the Internet as open as possible and access as equal as possible to all sites on the Internet. And Amy Schatz, columnist for The Wall Street Journal, who follows the Federal Communications Commission. And Salvatore in Larchmont, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning. I happen to be a venture capital investor, and my firm specializes in investing in Internet infrastructure. And I think one of the things that everyone needs to consider is how expensive it is to implement modern broadband infrastructure, particularly when you're talking about goals that the FCC is outlining, 100 megabits of service to, you know, the vast majority of Americans by 2020, I think the year is. You know, the cost of laying fiber optic cables through a municipality could be over $100,000 a mile. And the customers themselves are paying, you know, $80 to $200 a month for that type of service. And when you really look at the economics of it, it's very challenging for private enterprises to make a profit installing that type of infrastructure. It's one of the reasons why rural America needs very heavy subsidies in order to have the same type of infrastructure that we enjoy in places like New York.
So are you making an argument for Internet service providers to be able to charge fees for better speeds or more access?
We're not in a world where money is free or cheap. And if you want broadband infrastructure, you need to be willing to pay for it. And, you know, there's a certain level of demand there from consumers, but you can't force, you know, Comcast, companies like Comcast, into a situation where they're effectively, you know, subsidizing very high-risk projects for very low profits.
Ben.
They're just, you know, companies like that will run up against a wall, and then you'll end up with a lot less broadband infrastructure than you originally intended.
Ben Scott, what do you say to Salvador's point?
So, 2 points. One is, he's right that infrastructure is expensive, and he's right that we need government policies to push infrastructure into rural America. No one's saying they shouldn't be able to turn a profit or charge whatever they like. What we're saying is they shouldn't be able to discriminate in their pricing. So everybody already pays for Internet access, both as consumers and producers of Internet content. So WNYC pays money to upload all of your content onto the Internet. And if Comcast or Cablevision or Verizon in New York feels like WNYC is not paying enough to upload their content, they can charge you more. The question is whether they can charge you a discriminatory rate where you have to pay more than the guy down the street to make your website go as fast as him if you're concerned about staying competitive online. The final point that I want to make is that, you know, these guys are hardly going broke. You know, most all of the analysts in Wall Street that I read, and those companies that like Comcast who make quarterly reports, they're reporting 50% to 80% operating margins on their broadband service. So that sounds like a pretty good investment to me.
Salvatore, go ahead.
That's a very simplistic view of how the capital markets work. You know, Comcast has shareholders. They've got large pension funds, individual investors who have made an investment in a company with some knowledge of what the future prospects of that company is going to be. For someone to just walk around and say, I think 80%, you know, or 20% operating margins are enough, you know, that's up to the shareholders and for the capital markets to decide and to set the prices.
Salvatore, do you think there should be, or for you as a venture capitalist, there are any democratic small d values that that you abide by in this respect? Because you hear the concerns that Ben's articulating for the place of technology in our democracy, and whether sites should be able to you know, be available to anybody who wants to use them. Are there any values to abide by here, or is it just whatever's going to make us the most money and the, you know, everybody else, the heck
that,
with you?
Right. I think that, you know, there definitely is some – regulation has some benefit in the market. There's no question about it. I think there was an analogy drawn before about, you know, taking away all parking rules and, you know, that wouldn't work. Well, you know, similarly, you know, you don't have trucks driving on the Bronx River Parkway for a reason, right? It's because it's a county road going through Westchester County, and, you know, you can't have, you know, giant trucks driving down it because it's just not going to meet the objectives of the community, right? And who's going to fund repairing that road if you allow trucks to just drive down there willy-nilly? And it's similar in some respects to, you know, internet infrastructure and these companies that own these pipes. They, you know, pay a lot of money to have the infrastructure invested. They need to have, you know, incremental economics on, you know, each unit of production that makes sense for them and for their investors.
So,
you know, they're making commitments to these investors, and they need to have some measure of control.
I'm going to leave it there because we're out of time, but I really appreciate your call. I'll call us again. Amy Schatz from the Journal, just one point of clarification, because a few people are writing on our comments page to say that BitTorrent, which Comcast blocked in this case, is not a website per se, as I've referred to it as. It's a protocol, and that difference matters. Are you familiar with that?
So BitTorrent, like other programs, it's a web services company. It's a web service, and so it allows you to transfer files, upload and download files. And so it's not technically a website per se. It's a service that runs on top of the internet, and they were actually blocking or slowing traffic for their customers who were actually uploading and downloading files.
All right. Well, this ball gets thrown into Congress's court. New media debate. Amy Schatz from The Wall Street Journal, Ben Scott from Free Press. Thank you both very much for coming on with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, the Manhattan DA, Cy Vance. He actually showed up in court personally yesterday at the arraignments of some of the suspects in the Easter night so-called wilding in Midtown. And he says no plea bargains in these cases. We'll talk to DA Cy Vance in a minute.